The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Myers. Delighted that you are here. We have the Outdoor Report, which takes on a little more importance given the weather. It's certainly wintry weather and going to be wintry weather here for the next day or two. Greg Roberts joins me from rogueweather.com. Welcome back, Greg. Good to have you on.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you. Great to be home, too, after the weekend up in Eugene at the Sportsman Show.
Yeah, you'll have to tell me more about that here in just a minute. By the way, before we dig more into this, I just wanted to make sure people understood that we only have three school delays that I'm aware of, that I've been informed of so far, and that is Pinehurst on a two-hour delay, Butte Falls Charter School on a two-hour delay, and the Ashland District on a two-hour delay. And when you look at some of the webcams in the higher hills, you can pretty much understand why, right? You can get that.
Yeah, actually, I'm very surprised that Pinehurst and Butte Falls are not closed.
Well, they haven't informed us yet.
At those elevations, we're going to be talking probably a foot of snow.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to be, give the kids some story to say, back when I was a kid, we had to go to the school, it's a foot of snow in each direction, uphill. You know, that kind of thing, like Grandpa.
Right? Now, Ashland, technically, the winter storm warning in effect, 2,000-foot elevation point, and that includes a lot of the city of Ashland. 4 to 12 inches is the expectation within the winter storm area. Mm-hmm. So not an impossibility that Ashland may later decide, no, we're not going to do this, because I think they're doing the two-hour thing right now.
Just to kind of see what happens.
Continued evaluation process. Yeah,
yeah, that makes sense. They may throw in the towel. We'll see about that. I haven't seen much trouble in Josephine County yet, have you? What about the four passes up there, huh?
I went looking to see what the extent of the snow is, and Jacksonville Hill on 238 is definitely very impacted by snow. But the interesting part was getting over to Josephine County, starting from Grants Pass and then working your way up I-5 mm-hmm. to Canyonville, looking at the webcams. We've got more snow falling and accumulating in Medford than any of the quad passes have, including Canyon Mountain, which is over 2,000 feet in elevation.
So most of this is then the southern part of Jackson-Josephine County then, really. Now, I have to tell you, Jacksonville Hill doesn't get its due as for how dangerous that can be in the in the ice and snow.
It truly doesn't, and it also, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it, the gradient, the curves, mm-hmm. there's, you know, multiple reasons why that thing becomes so difficult once you start putting snow on it.
I would also add that there is an amazing propensity for people to drive fast when the conditions are bad there. It astounds me what they do up there.
It's got a pretty good history of vehicles just breaking loose and sliding all over that thing and, you know, basically destruction derby results. So. Yeah. Jacksonville Hill, if you have to travel it, just know it's got packed snow and very slick conditions on it right now. And anything towing trailers or vehicles over 10,000 pounds gross vehicle weight, some of the service rigs that run that thing, they're going to have to chain up to get up Jacksonville Hill or even go down it.
Now, if I had to go up to that Jacksonville site, which I don't have to, everything's working fine, but if I had to, and it's about 3,200 feet elevation, how much snow would I see there, most likely?
That zone, again, you're talking 4 to 12 inches. There's going to be a lot of variability, again, because microclimating is clearly already having an impact. For example, now that we know it's going to snow here in Jackson County, on the valley floors, it could be anything from a trace up to 4 inches. I woke up at 6:30, slept in a bit today, but I woke up at 6:30 and we pretty much had a trace of snow here where I'm at, about 3 blocks east of South Medford High School. We have been gaining accumulation since I've been up. Our driveway entrance area where we live is definitely getting snowier in time on the pavement, and there is definitely more snow sticking to vehicles and the grass and the brush, the elevated surfaces. But the fact that we're getting more of it sticking to pavement and concrete is a pretty good tell.
Okay, as far as temps, how are we looking at this week overall?
We pretty much are low to mid-30s. I'm going to pop over real quick to Medford, but what I'm looking for here are the observation reports from around the area. Yeah, low to mid-30s pretty consistently across Jackson and Josephine counties at this time. The exception to that is O'Brien, clear out in the far end of the Illinois Valley, 28 degrees at this time.
All right.
So that's the cold spot that I can see. But I really wish there was a webcam out there at O'Brien, because I suspect there, with that temperature, if anything's coming out of the sky there, that would almost definitely have to be snow
now,
at 28.
You know what we need to do is get some grant stream funding, put a cam on. Now, O'Brien, isn't that where they have the old police car on the side of the road? Right there,
that's
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right there in front of the store.
Yeah, put the road cam right there on the old police car, right? And then let people think it's a speed cam. All right, don't correct them, I guess. It's some nutty driving out on 199 for sure. By the way, are we looking...
And then in the far western end of the Umpqua Divide, I've got 26 degrees, and I'm trying to find their elevation point.
Yeah.
3,900 feet, 26 degrees at Silver Butte Ross, and then on the east side of the Coast Range at Calvert Peak Ross, also 26 degrees, and that is 3,800 feet. So, you know, by and large, once you get over 3,000 feet, that's where you start seeing the 20s come in, except down there in the O'Brien area.
All right, very good. Hey, Greg, I wanted to ask you.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
Now I'm really looking at this, and I pulled it up in greater detail. Correction, that is not O'Brien. That is actually on the Crazy Peak Remote Weather Station, which is right over the top of O'Brien. And they are at nearly 4,000 feet in elevation.
Okay.
So, okay, that makes a lot more sense.
All right, good. Hey, I wanted to talk about the amount of rain we've had over the weekend. It just seemed like it just rained and never stopped, and it still hasn't stopped this morning. And the reason I bring this up is that I'm still getting multiple people writing me concerned about the teacup, you know, the teacup levels that are shown on the Rogue Basin. And they continue to look at what's going on with, I think the number on... the Applegate Reservoir is 15/3. Okay, that's the number. And I keep writing back to them, and I say, listen, people are telling me that will fill up so quickly. That's the reason why they have that relatively low right now. And I don't know if anything has changed because of the massive amount of rains that we've been experiencing the last few days.
I haven't had a chance to take a look at that, but I would bet that it has. I mean, we're on that north end of that atmospheric river that's going into California, that, you know, that even up in Eugene with news they had on where we were staying when we were having breakfast, because we got complimentary breakfast with our room stays, and all I was hearing was about the atmospheric river going into California, and that is true. And we were on the northern end of that here, and that explains why we had the rain coming down that we did, because we were in that, you know, the best way to term that is giant fire hose in the sky. And, you know, it definitely is going to throw a lot of rain down. By the way, speaking of that, I wanted to take a look and just did at Mount Shasta Ski Park. They're still getting rain at their base, which is around 5,500 feet. I don't see snow showing up there until you get up at the top of Douglas Butte and Coyote Butte. And Coyote and Gray Butte lifts are closed today down there due to the weather conditions. They do expect snow levels are going to lower to the base later today, and then they're looking for 2 to 4 inches of snow. But at the same time, Mount Ashland is definitely seeing snow, and they're probably going to be a foot, maybe even more than a foot. Now, the bad news is Mount Ashland had to close today because their water system has failed, and they need to get it going. They were open yesterday because they thought they had enough water in their reservoir to get them through the day. By doing things like closing the bathrooms so nobody's flushing water, they used the porta potties in the parking lot. They tried to cut down on the amount of water they were using in the kitchen, but they also needed enough water to charge the firefighting systems. And they had to shut down ticket sales in the afternoon yesterday, and they're closed today. I made the post yesterday from Eugene about what was going on, and one of our noted environmentalist leaders in Southern Oregon.
which one would that? You don't want to name a name, right? You don't want to do that?
No. Okay. He's immediately blasting Mount Ashland for being closed today when they already have great community dissatisfaction with the way they're doing things. And he was going, what difference does a day make? When you're very limited on water, it made a huge difference. He was talking about why be closed today when they're going to be closed on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Well, just tell the just tell that environmental hero, okay? Tell the environmental hero that, listen, you're not adding to the carbon footprint. You're helping to save the planet by staying home today from the ski resort. How about that? How about that?
Yeah, but of course, it's a great powder dump day happening up there. And believe you me, the people most disappointed they're not open today, the staff from Mount Ashland and especially their leadership. But they didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
And so here's what happens. You have morons in this community who can't think things through, don't understand the circumstances, and blast them as just being closed for no good reason.
Well, that's okay. That's the reason why I have a talk show. That's the reason why I have a talk show, Greg, because, you know, there's never a lack of bad thinking going on in many places. So that's just the human condition, my friend.
Yep. And unfortunately, some of the most outspoken voices we ever hear from are those clueless morons who actually think they're so knowing and they think things are being done for nefarious reasons.
Well, you know, that's been something which has been a long-term trend, though. I mean, it's everything. Yeah. You saw this with the D.C. Plane crash and the helicopter collision the other day. You saw this happen with what happened in Philadelphia and all the rest of it. I just want to say, just relax, take a break. Let's start going through the procedures before we start pointing fingers. That's all I'm getting at. Let's find out what's going on there. But it's really hard not to, because there's so little trust in mainstream media reporting going on. And so they go elsewhere.
Media and anything, there's so little trust in anything anymore. And COVID was the thing that blew it all completely apart.
Yeah, safe and effective destroyed credibility, not only in public health officials, but also in media and government.
When you think about everything that was done as a response to COVID, which now in hindsight, I am 100% convinced all of that was done to absolutely try and cripple Donald Trump and make sure he wasn't reelected.
The appearance. It does have that appearance. Let's set that aside here for just a moment now. And here we are. We're looking at a lot of winter weather and things. Besides skiing, is there anything else worth doing? Like, I don't know, can you do some good fishing in weather like this or any other activity in the outdoor?
The hard part is, with the road conditions being what they are, trying to tow boats to the lakes, wouldn't advise that, because most people I know don't even have chains for their boats or, trailers or anything like that. And then plus, with the snow dumping down, even if you can access the lakes, well, the boat ramps are going to be absolutely messy. So even if you did get a boat there, you're not going to be able to launch. It's no fun to go hiking down to a shore, trudging through snow. Then you get down to the shore and you inevitably are going to reach a point where it's really muddy and slick as all get out. Honestly, today, what we've got, it's a shutdown day.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take that and just run with it, all right? A shutdown day in the outdoors, but I guess opening up a little bit later. What's the outdoor show you're going to be at this weekend? Just curious before we take
off. This coming weekend, we're going to be in Roseburg, and I'll tell you what, looking at all the new data right now, oh, is it going to be so much fun getting there and then being there? Because, yes, we've got this first wave coming through that's associated with the AR, but we've got a second system coming from the north, and it's going to be arriving here sometime on Wednesday. But Wednesday through Saturday morning, once again, another round of valley floor snow accumulating in the valleys. And again, microclimating will impact it. It looks like another one of these trace to 4-inch scenarios developing in Jackson and Josephine counties, also into Douglas County. But where I was just at up in Lane County, I was watching this thing yesterday and running the models. Lane County areas, a trace to as much as 6 inches potential for some of the areas like Veneta. Veneta is a noted snow zone out there west of Eugene in the east side of the Coast Range, and they pick up a lot of snow. Then you get to the Springfield Pleasant Hill area, looking like 2 to 3 inches of snow. When you start running out Highway 58, Highway 126, going up into the Cascades out of the Eugene area, you don't have to go too awful far before, once again, you're finding that 4 to 12 inch range, and you get to higher elevation points like Oak Ridge, Blue River, we're probably looking 12 to 18 inches. And that's, again, a kind of a Wednesday into Saturday morning thing. But like I said, Roseburg, where we're going to be next weekend with the show, trace to 4 inches, depending on how the microclimating plays out.
So, well, stick with RogueWeather.com and keep up on the microclimating of Southern Oregon, okay? Greg, have a great day in spite of it. I think we pretty much know where it's going. Just, keep your eyeballs peeled for the snow wherever you happen to be. We got some fluffy rain happening right now in the Medford area, and it is definitely change for everybody heading south, for sure, and then coming north in.
There is no option. They are going to make you chain up to go over the Siskiyous, and that is going to include things like four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive.
This is
one of those times.
All right, very good. Hey, Greg, take
also
care.
Required to carry chains.
Great weekend. Looking forward to it next Monday, okay? We'll see you then. Thanks.
You got it, Bill.
Greg Roberts, once again, RogueWeather.com, RogueWeather.com. By the way, Outdoor Report sponsored, for the next few weeks on Monday morning. That's by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. 729, we have open phones and anything else that happens to be on your mind. We can talk tariffs. We can talk all sorts of stuff coming up.
Rule number one, if you're looking to sell a home, choose a local real estate agent. Hey, it's Lars.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Well, it's the final day before the tariffs go into effect from the Trump administration. 25% from Canada and Mexico, 10% on Canadian energy, 10% on China. I'm kind of surprised, with all the talk about China, I would have thought it would have been 25% tariff there. But we're talking 10% on goods from China. I don't know if you have an opinion one way or the other on this. President Trump calls it short-term pain for long-term gain. Are you okay with that? I'm still not sure how I feel, about this, because I look at tariffs differently than the Trump administration does. President Trump had talked about a time in which, tariffs ran the country. Tariffs did pay for the country. All I would say, though, is that tariffs were also paying for a government that was, I don't know, 1/100th the size and the scope of what we were. I mean, you almost never heard of federal officials in your area. You very rarely had any interaction with your federal government. Just wasn't that way. But I'm going to be guardedly optimistic. Short-term pain, long-term gain. Are you okay with that? Or are you hurting? 770-5633. We can talk about that, various other things. Of course, from what I understand, Canada already tariffs us, in some cases, 200-300% on some of the goods that we export there. No wonder he wants to buy Canada. But do we need more socialists here? Just saying. All right. So we can kick that around or anything else on your mind, too. James is in Selma. Hello, James. How you doing? Welcome.
Hi. One thing I do not hear on any of the news stations is the tariffs on Mexico and Canada was the fentanyl. They want to stop the fentanyl bringing it in across the border.
Yeah, fentanyl, the fentanyl seized, though, is not very large from Canada. It's more of a Mexican problem, though.
Well, I think they did have some coming across the border also. And
apparently we know how to seize them from Mexican cartels, but we haven't figured it out how to do it on the Canadian cartels, if that's the case. Because I think it's only it's a very small number amount of fentanyl coming from Canada at this point, from what I'm
reading. According to Gateway Pundit, 60% of the businesses, or half of the Canadian businesses, plan to move production to the United States.
Okay, well, that's one way to put some more people to work. Sure.
That's good.
All right, James, appreciate the call. So you're all right with this, apparently. 770-5633. We'll talk about that with Dr. Powers a little later, too. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Deplorable Patrick here. Bill, welcome, and don't look at me. It's your fault. I want to talk about four different things.
That's okay. We could do that.
Go ahead. So limit me to four different things. That's great.
You're a little bit of ADD. It's all right. So jump around a little bit. Spark around.
Well, thanks for that. I can do that. First of all, I've heard the report that down in L.A. they got these protests. And the reporters are saying, oh, yeah, they're waving Mexican flags and other foreign flags.
Yes, we also had that happen in Salem. In Salem, same sort of thing. And the protesters were protesting in favor of illegal aliens staying here. And you know what I say to that?
Go back with them.
I was thinking something more quick and to the point, be like, and the borough you rode in on. Okay, how about that?
Yeah, well, what I wanted to get at here is I heard a long time ago, probably once, that flying a foreign flag is an act of war. Now, who's in charge of that? How do you lodge a complaint? And is everybody just going to forget about the fact that it's an act of war?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think it's some clown, you know, walking down the streets in Salem is an act of war necessarily. But I think what you're looking at, though, is that they're trying to market. They're trying to get people so upset about it. Well, maybe, Trump man bad, you know, all those sort of things. I think it's going to be, I think it's a total failure of marketing, though. All right. The fact that they actually are waving Mexican flags and saying that we want our illegal citizens, kept here in the United States. It makes me even more now wanting to say, send them back, and then they can help make Mexico great, since they're so concerned about Mexico, apparently, waving Mexican flags on American soil. How about that?
Well, you said it just ahead of me. I say it's even more clear now that they're unruly, disorderly people, and they don't belong here. And this other topic about domestic violence and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I talked to a state policeman over in Eastern Oregon a while back. He said he arrests more women for domestic violence than men.
Really?
I'm jumping around a little here, but I sense that there are a lot of women who say, well, why don't men want to get married anymore? Well, can they figure it out?
Well, I am not going to tar all women with this, but the one thing that I have noticed, and I've talked about this before, is that the feminist culture, what has been coming, this latest wave of feminism, I don't know what it is, has been about encouraging women to take on the behavior of the worst side of men. You see what I'm getting at here? And there's been kind of an encouragement here, and it has been the rise of the just take the term badass woman, the rise of the badass woman in the culture.
I will tell you something.
And I think that's had something to do with that. And you're encouraging young girls especially to just take on the worst behavior of misbehaving men. Just saying.
Well, something came out in that conversation where the courts or people involved say, well, you must have done something to provoke her. Mm-hmm. I did something to provoke a woman that I was married to a while back, I refused to knuckle and let her wear the pants in the family. That provoked her. Mm-hmm. And she attacked me 2-3 times. If it was today, she would go to jail for it, but I didn't complain. But apparently, it's just a thing anymore that women think they get to wear the pants in the family. I don't agree to that. And if I don't agree with that, I get attacked for it. That's just a fact.
All right. Anything else you wanted to add here? You had a lot of thoughts bubbling through your head over the weekend.
I will point the finger on this crash in Washington, D.C. It's very clear. Even under the best conditions, those airplanes were expected to pass 200 feet from each other. Mm-hmm. That's bizarre. That's completely out of line.
Yeah, 200 feet is really nothing in the air world. You know, and that doesn't make sense. Something tells me you're going to see a lot of restriction or changing around of helicopter traffic there, because now know that it appears, according to the black box on the plane on the CRJ, that they were aware of the helicopter and were trying to pull up. So they just had that short amount of time that it was pulling up, but it wasn't enough time to get out of the way. Wasn't enough time.
You're correct. You're completely, even as a non-pilot, you know, 200 feet is nothing. And I'll tell you something else. As a pilot, you can gain or lose 100 feet in just a few seconds without knowing it, unless you're on autopilot.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, and also just a gust of wind, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So my point is, FAA is very much in the doghouse with me for allowing this whole procedure to even be in a place.
All right. Very good. Hey, good talk on a bunch of stuff. You just covered all sorts of things that were being discussed this morning. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
This is Minor Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Screaming Eagles, the 101st Airborne, being moved to the border. You know the reason for that, don't you? Is it declared the cartels as foreign terrorist groups. They're getting ready to do special ops in Mexico to take those guys out. And, well, they're going to be successful. You're going to see, you may not see or hear anything except, if they use the Air Force and drones. But, if they send special ops in, we may or may not hear anything about it. Hmm. Just thought I'd let you know.
All right.
These are special operations down there now. And they're serious about it. And, well, you don't want to screw with Delta Force or the Rangers. They are what we call tier number one. That means they practice every day war fighting, and they're very good at it. Doesn't mean they won't lose anybody, because stuff happens in battle. And
Well, the one thing I will say is that it certainly appears the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, has his head screwed on correctly. Did you hear this morning that there are going to be no more days or no more months being celebrated over at the military? No more of this. We're going to have, transgendered soldier month. There's going to be no more Black History Month. It's just going to be, nothing that divides the forces up. Nothing that divides the forces up from one another. It's like we're going to be a united fighting force. That's all they're going to do. I love it.
Right. And they're going to try to keep politics out of it, which they need to do. They need to definitely vet all of the soldiers that came in during the Biden administration.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have any choice but to do so, especially when they're looking at the transgendered troops that are not available, are not really available, and not deployable. And it's so the military, you join the military just to have your boy or girl parts cut off at taxpayer expense, and then the health care, the gender-affirming health care that they like to talk about here in the state of Oregon, huh? I think it's coming to an end. A lot of work to do, but at least we're seeing some semblance of a return to, more normal than we were in 2020, maybe we just, or 2021. Why don't we just leave it at that, huh?
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News, to call them, Bill London, KMED News.
Interesting. I've been watching the price of gold just continue to creep upward here. It's been, we're now at yet another all-time high at the moment, $2,816 per ounce. Silver, about 31 and a quarter per ounce. That's what's going on right now. So in spite of what's going on, well, remember I was talking about there's going to be some temporary pain before there are long-term gains. That's what President Trump is doing when he's talking about the tariffs. But essentially what the market is saying is that they're looking at inflationary pressures continuing. And I would dare say, even if it's for a good cause, inflation will probably be pushed upward from tariff thing. I don't think there's any way of getting around that. But you can get some gold tucked away. In fact, there are some people that are thinking that maybe what we're witnessing now is a rotation into gold because of, well, essentially, it's not about the inflation hedge as much as it is the fact that there's less trust in central banks of the world right now because there aren't many tools they can use to fight it. So inflation, and this is what gold's all about. Talk to Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street. You can go there today, talk to Mark and Andrea about it, and get some physical gold. Or maybe you're looking at 2816 and going, hallelujah, I'm selling out. Either way, you can take care. Maybe you have some scrap gold. You're going to say, hey, at 2818 or something, I'm going to find every scrap I can find around here. How about some contacts from some old computers that I've saved? You know, there are actually people that do that. It will melt down old circuit boards. It's pretty amazing stuff. But Jay Austin is where you talk with them about it. Jay Austin at Ashland and Grants Pass. FortuneReserve.com. Get your physical gold and silver now and protect some wealth. And not a bad idea, in my view.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted? If you have a well for your water, no one's monitoring.
Sure, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
Speaking of Millett, Frank Millett emailed me yesterday from Millett Construction because I reached out to him. I'll tell you how this ends up working out. Let's go to take a look at the foundation. Oh, my gosh. You know, in my neighborhood, it's like everything is all, you know, no matter what you do, you cannot deny Mother Nature around Roxy Ann in Medford, you know, that sort of thing. Everything's going to continue to slide in spite of your best efforts, rather. So I'll let you know how that goes when he comes and takes a look. He might come into my house and take a look and go, ha, ha. I don't know. We'll see. That's just what happens. Wet weather and putting it on top of moving soil. That's what we do here in Southern Oregon. Welcome to Lynn. How are you this morning, Lynn? What's on your mind?
Hey, Bill. Terrific. Oh, there's so many great topics today, and I want to talk about all of them. I'm going to try to discipline myself.
Okay.
Real quick on DP, I just wanted to add, I'm so sick of watching TV shows or seeing movies where the girl beats up the man, and it's like standard, and it's super annoying. So, yes, on all of that.
Well, the rise of the badass woman, right? That's what has been happening.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I also wanted to point out, somebody called in, I already forgot who it was, but talking about COVID was all about taking Trump out. And I just wanted to say that it's actually so much bigger than Trump. They've been practicing this for over 10 years, and we know this from RFK's book, The Real Anthony Fauci. This was an actual attempt to institute world government through public health, and they almost pulled it off. I mean, I still feel kind of sick to my stomach when I even think about it, because they were so close to getting it done.
And the attack's not over. It isn't.
Oh, no. No. We've got a reprieve for a little while. But so I wanted to point that out because we need to be vigilant. And then I just wanted to ask, maybe Matt will call, and maybe he already has, but I don't understand why Trump is tariffing Canada. And I'm confused. It doesn't seem like fentanyl and illegals would be reason enough to put a 25% tariff on.
Well, fentanyl is not a big deal coming out of Canada at this point. The stats I'm looking at are relatively small ball as contrasted with Mexico. But I also think part of it is that Canada, and I don't know, Matt, by the way, is coming up after you. All right, just so you know. So
okay.
I'll ask him about this. But I think part of it is that Canada tariffs United States goods quite heavily, anywhere from dairy to foodstuffs going into Canada, 200-300% tariffs in some cases. So
maybe that's what that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
on the tariffing, I'm really of mixed opinion. When I was training to be a broker years ago, they talked about the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, which launched a trade war, and at least according to some interpretations, is what really launched the Great Depression. So I don't trust any of the history I've learned anymore, but I do think it's a concern. And all the rah-rah, I don't know. I'm really for tariffs, for getting something done, but for protecting anything but the most important industries like our pharmaceuticals, our antibiotics and stuff like that that China makes, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm guardedly optimistic, but I'm not going to be one of those guys that just sits there and thinks that everything that that comes out of Trump is worthy of praise. But we'll see. I'm going to be guardedly optimistic on this, okay? We'll see.
Yeah, same here.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let me go to, and speaking of the devil, there he is, Matt the Devil. How you doing there, Matt? Go ahead.
I'm good, Bill. I agree with what you said in regards to Canada. I think this has more to do. I realize Canada, our most important trade partner as far as oil goes is Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we do a lot of business there. And I noticed Trump was light on the tariffs there. But here's what I think is happening outside of, well, first, I guess I'll say this. There are some things that are more important than markets. 100,000 people being poisoned every year in our country is more important than what the markets do over the next month.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. Now, people can call in and disagree with me. I personally think that's more important. Changing. By importing different cultures who don't care about being American, and we saw all weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. You saw what happened there. In fact, you're the one that tipped me off to what was going on in Salem, and I will continue to say, and the borough you rode in on in response is what I would say to those individuals. But, you know, waving the Mexican flag and actually doing everything possible to defend, you know, people who aren't supposed to be here from even being touched by ICE. This includes the criminals. They were just saying, hey, if you're Mexican, ICE shouldn't be here, right? Forget about it.
Yeah, that's right. And they locked down the 101, which I used to travel every day for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They locked that down by just running out onto the freeway. Everyone there should be arrested. I don't know what California is going to do about that long term. But so my point is, I wasn't worried in regards to markets about the tariffs. And the reason I don't is because, first of all, America, and this includes Republicans and Democrats, have acted in fear. They always make decisions just like corporations do. I actually am getting to the point now where I know you want to know what goes on with the corporations you invest in, but the quarterly earnings thing has been driving me crazy for 10 years. I'm thinking there's too much emphasis placed on it. And I know that Wall Street does it just so they can make a buck. They can trade into it. They trade post it, you know, and then there's a reprieval for every company for a week or two after that. And there's just so much information and so many ways to make money for Wall Street to use the computers and churn and burn and all that.
Yeah. Let me ask you then, as a guy that studied stocks for years, who was in the industry, would we be better off having once a year earnings rather than quarterly, so that way people could actually work on building long term companies rather than everybody focused on the 90 day deal? What do you think?
You know, you're kind of making my point in regards to tariffs. Basically, what I hear you saying is there's a long term structural problem that needs to be changed. The way we do things needs to be changed.
Yeah, most of the time, what's being pushed as stock market is not investing; it's trading, right?
And listen, I've said this before. Wall Street learned a lesson from the 1970s that it doesn't matter if the market goes up or down. They just can never have it go sideways again for 10 years.
Yeah,
they can never have that.
They want it to churn. They want the churn one way or the other, right?
You can't make money without movement.
Yeah.
But so I want to go back to Trump, you know, what I think is happening here. And that is, these tariffs, yes, the ones on the southern border in regards to Mexico. And Mexico, look what's happened to the stock market already. I was spot looking at the indices up until like 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, the Dow was down 600 points or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
Right? Now the Dow is down 146 points because right away Mexico said, fine, we'll send 10,000 troops to the border fine. We'll start helping you with the drug cartels.
Yeah, so Trump's able to leverage some help there from the narco state known as Mexico, right?
Yeah, so what has to happen, and people are just going to have to get used to this, is when you have stuff that's structurally in place, and Biden, what he did was he pulled the curtain off of all the things that we've been doing wrong for 40, 50 years. And I know there's always a little pain right up front, but these things are important. We need to change where our medications are manufactured, where our technology is manufactured.
We shouldn't be dependent on Taiwan for this. Taiwan has huge political risk, naturally so, just because of of where it is.
Bill, you might agree with me here, but I think there's tons of elected officials throughout Mexico that are fully funded by the cartel.
And I would dare say, and you maybe people wouldn't like hearing this, when I see how some of the votes have gone on such issues here in Congress, I would dare say that there are Congress critters who are also funded by the cartel. Can't prove it, but they sure vote like they are. Okay?
You make a great point there. So here's beyond the tariffs for, you know, the southern border, the northern border in regards to illegal immigration, the import of fentanyl. These are structural changes that had to be addressed. And I think that's the point mostly of the tariffs. And I think you just got to give them a little bit of room. But look what happened at the Panama Canal.
Yeah. They're talking now. They're pulling out of the belt of the Silk and Belt Road. They're pulling out of that agreement there. And they're not going to charge military transports any fee, any boats going through or any ships. They're going to charge them any fees going through the canal. So there we go.
And I think they were thinking that Trump would cave just like every other president has caved, like Bush and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But they've run up against the buzzsaw. And he's saying, no, there are structural things that need to change in our hemisphere, and I'm the agent of change.
And he has nothing to lose at this point, too. This is his term, and he's not looking for re-election, nothing like that. So he's going to do what needs to be done, in his view. So there we go. All right. Appreciate the call. Good one here, Matt, as always. If you are on hold, hang tight just a couple of minutes. We'll get right to you. Help out some local businesses here, and I hope you actually do business with all these people. They're, you know, keeping the lights on here and keeping us all together, and I want to make sure that they work well, too. This is the Bill Meyer Show, 770-5633.
Hi, this is Megan at Mini Pet Mart. Over the last 8 years, Mini Pet Mart, with its vendors and customers...
The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Delighted you're here at KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. And people who are been on hold for a little while, I want to get to them first. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning. Holly Morton, Josephine County.
Morning, Holly. What's going on?
Hi. Well, we had a great meeting on Saturday regarding the 762 fire hazard map. A lot of specialists. Mr. X was there, Commissioner Smith, Bob Hart, John West, all the who's who. Senator Noah Robinson was talking about his bill 678 designed to repeal, and Attorney Steve Jonkis was there. So we're into the what's up next. And next Saturday, we're going to have a workshop in the office so people can figure out what paperwork they need to send and what order they need to send it. Steve Jonkis, the attorney, will be there to try to help people navigate this process. We'll have times and everything. We're kind of in the infancy of planning it and who can be there at what time. But that'll be an important opportunity for people to come to the office and try to figure out what they need to do about 762, which is kind of a land grab, really, ultimately. But it is certainly private property problem.
Yeah, obviously, I do find it interesting, the cease and desist. Did you see the cease and desist? Well, of course, you probably saw that. You were probably passing that out at the Thursday meeting, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I find it interesting that on Senate it's Bill 762, they're actually referencing a state statute, a law, that talks about the power of Oregon Department of Forestry, which is to administer state-owned lands. Well, that doesn't include all the people that end up getting these fire maps. So where's the authority? It'll be an interesting conversation, I'll bet.
The other thing that happened on Saturday was that Brian Weldon showed a drone video of Jeff Golden's house. Of course, Jeff Golden is the senator that wrote 762. Mm-hmm. And his house is covered with brush, but he's got himself in the low fire risk category.
Well, just being in the city makes you a lower risk for some reason. It's just magic. Of course, let's ignore that that pesky part about Phoenix, Talent, parts of Medford burning down. We'll just forget about that in Alameda, okay? All right. Let us know when that meeting's going to be, okay? Thanks, Holly.
Yeah, that'll be important.
Thank All right, indeed. I think people are awake on this one now. Holly Morton, by the way, is the chair at the Josephine County Republicans. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Hello? Hello, hello. 1, 2, 3. All right, going once. Gosh, you waited all that time and then you didn't answer. Okay, hi. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, Michael Shaw.
Hey, Michael.
So the issue in my mind about tariffs has to deal with a direct effect on inflation. We've been dealing with the cost increase of everything in our lives for way too long. So the only way to change that is to hit a period of deflation or depression. So are we going to be able to dial back the cost increases and get them back down to a level that they were 5 or 10 years ago? And if not, how are we going to stop inflation, period?
It's an interesting question. And of course, the last thing that I have to say, the last thing that the federal government tends to want is deflation, because then the debt that we owe has to be paid off with dollars that, you know, with fewer dollars, you know, that kind of thing.
I understand that, but I mean, I'm looking at, in my business, being in the shipping industry, I've got UPS, FedEx, DHL, and the U.S. Postal Service have all increased their prices on an average of 5% per year.
Everybody has been increasing their prices, and I would say, Darren, more than 5% in some cases, right?
Yeah, but it averages out to be about 5% a year. So for 5% a year for 23 years, figure out the numbers. It's huge. So my cost of goods sold increase that much. My retail prices have to go up to cover that. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm making more gross profit percentage. It just means that everything has gone up all the way around. My wages have gone up. My insurance costs have gone up.
So the only way to reverse it, though, is to have a recession of some sort. Right.
Well, a recession in and of itself is generally pretty short term, maybe 6, 12, 18 months. Does that fix the issue and put a real reset on things? Or that bad, bad word, is a depression needed to reset it?
I don't have the answer to it, but it's a pretty thought-provoking question to ponder here. You'd hate to get what you didn't ask for, right?
Right. Well, I mean, if we hit a depressionary period, billions and billions of dollars worth of real estate, the personal property, are all going to be underwater. They're going to owe $600,000 in a house that's worth $300,000 or whatever it is.
And then it'll be back to 2008 again, people walking away from homes, right?
Right, right. But it's just the cost of living day to day has gone up so much that it's got to be questioned, where do we stop this or how do we stop this and give us all a breath of fresh air, at least for a while?
Because labor, when I'm talking about labor, I'm talking about regular working schmoes. Those boats really haven't been lifted to the point. Asset holders really were the benefiters. Were the beneficiaries, I think, over the last 20, 30, 40 years, you know, when you look back at that.
Right. Well, I can look at my wages that I've paid over the last two decades that have gone up starting rate by 350-375% for our starting rate.
Yeah.
But those people making those levels of income aren't really doing better in their daily lives because they're paying so much more for everything, from a gallon of milk to a carton of eggs to a gallon of gas.
It's an excellent point. I'll talk with Dr. Powers about that coming up. We got him coming on in just a few minutes, all right? I'll see what he thinks about it.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. And we'll have Dr. Powers joining me here. Just a few.
When it comes right down to it, when we buy things, we want the best products at the best prices and the best service.